Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Zoe, it's 10 to 9 at night and we're recording. How are you?
Well, I'm drinking a large glass of rosé, so I'm suddenly feeling really relaxed, but generally a bit like a headless chicken running around like a lunatic. But it's all good stuff. Do you know what? I like being busy. I really like it. I just hate missing the kids' bedtime. That's the one thing that I crave. I think I've spoken about this before. There's just nothing better than reading them a story and putting them to bed. And at the moment, because of drive time, I can't do it, but it just makes it more special on Saturdays and Sundays. It's fine.
You know what, Zoe, though? The grass isn't always greener, because tonight when I was putting the kids to bed, I was thinking about you on your own. And I was thinking, I wonder where I would rather be right now. It's not here.
You've had a shitter of a day, though, haven't you?
Oh, do you know what? They've not even been particularly bad. But, you know, like, I don't mind a day, like, at home with them, or if we're going to the park or doing something kiddie with them. But as soon as it's like, right, at 2 o'clock, we've got jabs, I've got to go and collect paint for like our bedroom at this time. And then I've got to collect a uniform from this place at this time. And they've got to have their lunch in between. And someone does a poo. You know, it's just all that. And you're like,
someone does a poo and it's not Axel and Gigi.
Yeah. Then I've got to go for a poo. No, I'm joking. But yeah, you know, just one of them. And it's just so annoying. Whereas if I'd have been on my own doing all those things, it'd probably taken me about 2 hours.
I just feel like it's the endless mum juggle, isn't it? Every parent in the world feels that. It's fine when you can kind of like free flow parenting, because you're kind of like, oh well, it doesn't matter what time we leave, or I don't have to get them in the car by this time. But as soon as there's like deadlines to hit in the day, it's like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. When there's times that you've got to do things by, and you still want to sort of keep their normal routine going as well. I find that really hard. But you know what? Judgy James is back to work.
Yeah, well, that's what you've wanted. You've wanted that for like 4 months. So
yeah, exactly. I can't moan about it.
It was really funny because my mate, actually SJ, we've had her on the podcast. She's obviously just had her new baby. She was so funny because obviously before she had kids, she was kind of like, oh, meet you here at this time, and then I'd always turn up like an hour later with like sick down me, and she'd be like, oh, are you okay? I was like, just really hard to get out of the house. Now she's had Ray, she sent me a message the other day going, I was supposed to be meeting our mates for brunch and I was supposed to be there at 11, and basically by 1 o'clock I hadn't left the house or got out of my pajamas, and there were two Pucanos up the back, and I was like, oh, up the back, they're the worst. Like, you can't fight those days. You've got to get on with them and go with it.
No, exactly. Now, today we are going to talk about like testing behavior, tantrums, whinging, all of that kind of stuff that gets on our nerves.
Yeah.
What is going on in your house at the moment, though?
I mean, generally, I feel like my kids are like superstars, you know. I feel like every parent thinks that deep down, but on the surface I'm always on the verge of thinking, are they going to go into like full meltdown at any point? You know, like anything can set it off. Like, I've given them the Weetabix in the wrong color bowl and it's like, I wanted a blue bowl. It's like, oh fuck, I'm sorry, it's a pink bowl, I thought you liked pink, but no, I'm not on that day. So I feel like it doesn't matter what I do, even if I think I've really got my ducks in a row with it, something can pick them up, and it's always a bit edgy. And I think at the moment, because Luna's kind of going through a period of she's quite unsettled since we moved house, I think just generally she's a bit of a keno. Like, she likes to get up and start her day at 5:30. She definitely doesn't want to wait for, like, we've been using the grow clock. I mean, she's not bothered about that. She like shouts from her bedroom going, I'm too hot, my clock's not yellow. It's like, you're supposed to lie there and wait for it. Why is it not working with you? We've tried a lot of things. So I think she just hasn't clicked out of the sort of like whinging and the moaning, and it is quite exhausting. And I also don't know how to deal with it. So I don't have like a book that's like, this is how you should talk to her when she's doing that. I'm really hot on like manners, and as I'm sure you are, you know,
yeah.
It's just a constant like travelator of repetition.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I sort of like flip from, you know, pulling Axel up every time he's rude to me, or like, you know, doesn't say please or doesn't say thank you, to then just thinking, oh, fuck, I can't be asked. I sort of go between both. Like, yeah. I don't really know. Neither way works, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere in the middle would probably be the best, but I haven't found that yet. So I'm sure we'll get there. Won't
I don't
we?
Know. I don't know. I think we're going to be in the station until our kids have left home at 18. But I, you know, the thing in our house is that Luna and Isla share a room. So I'm sure anything that's got siblings that share a room, if you've got one early riser, you have to kind of deal with them differently, because actually what you want to say is, right, stay in your bed and wait for the sun to come up. But what you have to do is like, okay, what do you need? You need a wee. Okay, do you need some water? And then you're like managing that so that she doesn't wake up Isla or doesn't wake up Kit. So it's a bit of a struggle. And Doz is like, she has to learn to wait. Whereas I would be more inclined to be like, look, I go to bed at 9 o'clock every night anyway. So by 5:30, I'm kind of ready for her. To be honest with you, Georgia, she's never going to sleep in past that time. I think I've just had that like epiphany moment this week where I thought, do you know what? That's the time she wakes up. I've got to get myself ready for it, because she doesn't want to, she just wants to get up.
And do you know what? I reckon, it's probably going to be another year and she'll get up and go downstairs and put the TV on herself.
Oh my God, please.
Do you know what I mean? Like literally, like,
wait for that.
Some of my friends' kids are like 5 and 6 and they will get up and just entertain themselves. Or one of them leaves the iPad outside the bedroom door. So that they can just go and get their iPads until she wakes up. I mean, that's genius.
This morning, that is brilliant. I cannot wait to do that with them. I have no issues about that. This morning, Jozra and I were having this like fantasy conversation about how great it would be if Luna actually slept till 7 o'clock. He was like, what would we do for that hour? He was like, we could have morning sex. I was like, oh, morning sex would be amazing. I mean, it would be very short. But it would be, at least we would get to do it at that time of the day again, like we used to like doing. Or like, you know, we could even just get up and, I don't know, or just sleep.
Just sleep. That's probably what you'd end up doing.
Yeah.
You'd be asleep till 7.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think I've tried everything. We know, you and I have had endless discussions about this. Cherry juice. sleep. Sleeping milk, comfortable bed, sleeping in socks, turn the fan on, get the fucking grow clock. It's like none of it works.
No, I actually do. I do think that some kids just like waking up early.
What's she like?
Do you know what? Both of them are all right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the early riser.
Yeah.
I feel Luna. Like, me and Luna are the same. I wake up at 5:30 and I just want to get up and start the day. And I'm itching to get up and I have to creep around the house so I don't wake anyone else up.
Oh, God.
So I get it. Like, I totally get it. I've always been like it.
Mm.
But no, like, they're all right.
But what mood do they wake up in?
Well, Axel likes his own space and his own company. So he will wake up and sort of just play or chat to himself or whatever. And then he's sort of one of those that, like, you know, he just kind of loves life. So he's like one of those, I don't want to say he's annoying, because, well, he is quite annoying, but he's always on, like, hey, this is amazing. Da, 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 da. You know, he's always on that. But that can become like, oh my God, please, please shut up. And Gigi's sort of, I don't know, she's so young. It's hard to say. They're not in particularly bad moods when they wake up. They sort of have their downtime later on in the afternoon where they get a bit aggy and a bit whingy.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's all to do with tiredness, isn't it? Like, bad behaviour, I think, mostly stems from tiredness.
I mean, I believe this as well. And actually, Luna and Axel dropped their naps about 6 months ago. Probably. I mean, they were sort of having them regularly. Well, Luna was anyway, up until about January or February of this year. So she was quite late to drop it, 3.5.
Yeah.
And where are we now? August. I kind of felt like she might be clicking out of the sort of neggy behaviour. But I think it goes down to exhaustion. Like if I ever take her out in the car at around 1 or 2 o'clock, she falls asleep straight away. And then, you know, there's definite, like I can see her in the morning, she wakes up and she's got black eyes, and, you know, Luna like fights going to bed at night as well. She doesn't make any noise, but she'll just lie there. And if I go pop upstairs at 8:30 to get something, whatever, she'll still be there just, you know, looking at her stars and her moon, being like, hi, mummy. It's like, just go. How are you not exhausted?
Do you know what I think's really funny? Like you say that, Axel doesn't fall asleep with his eyes closed. Do you know what I mean? It's like he keeps his eyes open and he's fighting to stay awake. And then his eyes close. Whereas when I get into bed, I don't know about you, but I just close my eyes.
Yeah.
Like I don't lay there with my eyes open until I fall. It's like, it's not a fight. In fact, it's probably a fight the other way.
Like,
Sleep. Yeah, maybe it's really odd, but you say about dropping the nap. Like Axel dropped his nap in September last year when he started preschool. Remember, he went from napping every day to then being at preschool 5 days a week.
Yeah,
You can't nap. So I had to do that quite quickly. And I would definitely say it had a knock-on effect for ages, absolutely ages. He was really irritable. He sometimes would come home from preschool at like 3 o'clock and fall asleep on the sofa. I think it's really difficult. It's a difficult age with sleep because you want them to be awake all day because that's how they, you know, sort of end up sleeping longer at night. And like, but it is so difficult. It's really difficult.
And it definitely has a monumental effect on their behavior. And I think that's kind of why we wanted to discuss tantrums and behavioral problems. I mean, just age behavioral issues that are going on today, because Georgia and I are both kind of experiencing it. And actually it is, the majority is around them being tired and their sleep and stuff. So listen, we threw it out to you guys. Thank you so much for all of your questions. Let's get into it, G.
Let's. Should we start from the top?
Yeah.
So tips on how to calm your toddler down. I'm losing my mind and feel like I'm failing.
Oh God, you're not failing. You're not failing. We all feel like this. I think I can probably answer this one, because obviously with Luna, we had the monumental tantrums. They were seriously bad. I mean, like chemical reaction going off. I had no idea how to deal with them. I think the first one is that you need to put them in a safe space where they know that they can't hurt themselves. So I always think like a naughty step, trying to sit them on there and saying, right, calm yourself down. Mummy's just here, but I'm going to leave you until you've calmed down, until you can have a conversation. I'm not sure how old this person's little one is, but if they're able to kind of communicate, then be like, right, you just crack on with what you're doing, and I'm just going to be here. Because I think the worst thing you can do is kind of, for a while I was like shutting Luna's door and leaving her in there, and then she was like smashing her hands against the door, and it was awful. That was not right. I didn't get that right. But I think if you can be with them in a safe space and just let them have the tantrum, whether that falling on the floor and banging their hands and feet and fists around the place, and just explain to them that you're happy to communicate with them once they've calmed themselves down. And then I think at that point it is about like reaffirming that that sort of behavior makes mummy feel really sad when you behave like that, and that we want good behavior, and good behavior means doing X, Y, and Z. And then just doing it that way, rather than being like, right, you can stay in your room and I'll shut the door, because that's distressing. And I don't think that works personally, but definitely didn't work for us.
No, I agree. And also, just if your kid is younger, Gigi already has tantrums.
Yep.
She's only just one, and she throws herself on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, I never had that with Axel. She throws herself on the floor the second something doesn't go her way. And that's unbelievable. And I just sort of cuddle her.
Yep.
Like, I'd literally just cuddle her. Don't say anything. I just cuddle her and let her calm down. And then like sort of try and talk to her. But, you know, she's one. She probably doesn't really get what I'm saying. But I think that's how I'm going to approach it. Like you said, just let them calm down. And then, because you know what it's like. You never have a good outcome if you have a big heated discussion, where you're shouting at each other. And nothing ever comes from that. So it's always better to communicate like when you're calmer.
Also, we did do a podcast with Expect the Best a while back on testing twos and behavioural issues. So that's a really good one to go back and listen to if you're having any problems. They come up with some amazing suggestions on how to deal with toddler tantrums. So that could be a good one to listen back to. How to reward good behaviour without stitching yourself up in the future.
This really, really made me laugh because I have done this so much. I don't know if you remember when Axel had like this modelling job. Oh my God, it was the worst day of my life. I'm not even joking. Basically, we got to the point where I promised him a trip to Disneyland if he stood on a plinth for about a minute. That is what we got to. It was like, first of all, you can have a Hulk costume. You can have this. And then we got to Disneyland. So I absolutely understand what you mean by rewarding good behaviour without stitching yourself up. And I found like just a pom-pom jar.
Yeah.
It really works. Like Axel is excited just to get the pom-pom in the jar, let alone the prize at the end when he fills it up. And quite often we sort of forget about it. Like by the time it sort of gets halfway full, we sort of have forgotten about it and then we start again. Yeah. So sometimes he doesn't even end up actually getting anything. But I do think it is that thing of, you know, rewarding good behaviour, even just with words, you know, just like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Like, oh, you've been so good today. Yeah. And giving the attention for good behaviour rather than giving the attention for bad behaviour.
Yeah, Georgia and I are also massive fans of the reward chart system where you can either just make it just by literally like, I don't know whether it's like teeth brushing or make your bed or get yourself dressed or go for a wee or, you know, just whatever it is at the top. And then whenever they do one of those things, even if it's like bringing their bowl back from breakfast, like Kit started doing now, I'm like, have you got your bowl? And he's like, I'm finished. And he brings it back into the kitchen. I've got a sticker. I'll actually put it on Instagram. I've got a sticker chart for him. And every time he does that, I just put a sticker next to what he's done. And then at the end of it, he gets like £2 to spend in the bloody toy shop or whatever, we go to the Sainsbury's or whatever it is. So that's quite a nice way of doing it because then they can see their progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My 2-year-old doesn't want anyone near him but me. Please tell me this is just a phase.
It is.
Definitely.
Yes.
And I think it's probably heightened at the moment as well when we've just sort of come out of lockdown. There's quite a lot of research going around at the moment which says sort of how children have been affected by this, and I really think that Gigi is so much more clingy than maybe she would have been if we hadn't had the lockdown. So I'm sure as things go back to normal, this will probably ease. But also, 2 years old, they do have that, don't they? There is that stage where they become really, really clingy.
Yeah, so this is Kit. So I can spend, because I'm not really with them at all at the moment, which is kind of heartbreaking. But when I spend the weekend with him, by Monday morning, he doesn't want to go with Lucy, who obviously looks after him for 3 days a week. He's like, no, mummy. And then he's, by Wednesday, after he spent, you know, 3 full days with her, he's kind of like, where's daddy? And then I don't get very much of a look in until kind of Saturday when I've given him attention. They're quite, at that age, they're quite kind of fickle. I don't want to say fickle, but like, obviously you're spending a lot of time with him. So I don't know if there's, you know, for you as well, maybe it's a bit like, from what I can tell from that message, she's kind of saying, I might need a bit of space as well. So yeah, I don't know if there's a chance of you kind of popping out and spending a couple of hours away from him and just kind of, you know, just putting a bit of distance between you and your 2-year-old as well. I don't mean distance as in, see you later, I'm off to Ibiza for 5 days. But you know what? They do get used to other people quite quickly. So if there's anybody else around that can help look after him for even if it's just an afternoon, him or her, then maybe that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, totally. It's just baby steps, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And then Ibiza at the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. Build up to Ibiza.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Setting boundaries at bedtime, my 2.5-year-old asks for more books and screams when I go. Oh, Charlotte.
We've all had this, haven't we?
Yeah.
I feel like everyone has this. Another story. Can I have some water? Can I go to the toilet? Can I do this?
Anything. I'm too hot. Yeah.
Anything to put off bedtime.
Charlotte, I think a really good... Yeah, you go, G.
No, I was just going to say, I think consistency is key. Sort of lay out what you're going to do before it happens.
Agreed.
So here's your water. We're going to have two stories. You know, if you need to go to the toilet, go now. Sort of be one step ahead of them before they can ask you. Sort of have it all laid out. This is what we're doing. And then you could just keep reaffirming that. This is what we had. We said two stories. When we've had the two stories, I'm going, or however many you want to do.
Yeah, agreed. Charlotte, that is exactly right. I get the kids to choose their stories. So I go, right, it's two stories tonight or one story tonight. And I get them to go to their, like, they've got a story box, which is also a really nice idea to have in the room. And they pick their stories out and I go, right, that's it, two stories tonight. And like Georgia said, water, wee, all that kind of stuff is ticked off. And then when the two stories are done, it's, I've told you that it's two stories tonight. And do you know what? If they kick and scream for a bit, and they're not happy, it's like going back in and saying, I told you it was two stories tonight, and then out again. You've just got to keep consistent with it, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Naughty step or timeout, which works better?
I think they both have kind of positives, actually, attached to them. We use the naughty step with Kit, which is literally a step on the stairs where he sits, and I say, right, you've been naughty, I'm going to sit you here now, and I'm going to come back when you've had a think about what you've done. And then I leave him on the step, I don't shut the door into the kitchen, and I just go into the kitchen and he stays on it. And now we're having quite good results with that, actually, but it has taken a bit of time. So I think, you know, lots of people say naughty step doesn't work because they just get off the step and just run around like lunatics, but I think you just need to keep putting them back on it, saying this is where you're going to think about your behavior and then step away from it. So for me, the naughty step is working wonders at the moment. And then I say, what do you say? And he says, I'm sorry. And then we go back into the kitchen. Maybe give that a whirl.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just depends on your child, because the naughty step for us didn't work.
No, exactly.
Because Axel quite liked it. He'd be like, I'd literally go to tell him off and be like, I'll just go and sit on the step. But he'd just go, I'll go and sit on the step. And then he'd just sit there and he'd be like, are you sorry? And he'd be like, no. Right, okay, right, this is definitely not working. For him, he doesn't like me to sort of ignore him or be disappointed in him.
Yeah.
So probably, a sort of timeout, I guess, similar sort of thing, where I take a break from him, actually. That seems to be the thing that works for us.
Yeah.
It just depends on your child, for sure.
Give them both a whirl and then come back to us.
Exactly.
Hello to Megan. How do you discipline without shouting? Megan, I mean, I definitely end up shouting. So don't beat yourself up if you've been shouting. Obviously, the key is not to get to that point. I don't like it. I don't like having any shouting. But you know what? It does happen sometimes. I think what we've learned is that, like, getting down to their level is absolutely key. And explaining emotions to them rather than saying, you need to stop doing that. They don't really understand you need to stop doing that. They understand, or we're teaching them to understand. When you do that, you make mummy frustrated, upset, sad, and or whatever it is that you're feeling. And then, you know, a good tip is kind of, if you want to explain to them about emotions, is getting an emotions book. We've got some really good, Chris and Rose recommended some really good ones, so they can kind of understand how they're making you feel. But come down to their level, keep it very calm, and just explain, when they behave like that, this is how it makes you feel. Do you say, G?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think coming down to their level is key, and also staying calm. Like, everyone shouts. I mean, I don't know a parent who's never shouted at their child. It definitely happens. It's just human nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Just sort of coming down to their level, trying to be as calm as possible and clear as possible.
Yeah.
Just make it very clear how you're feeling, what you expect from them, and leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the more attention you give to it, the worse it is. I mean, I've got this wrong big time over the years with Luna, big time. Because I'm always like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And it's like, no, you don't need, no, I'll tell you, I'm the boss. You know, too much of a fuss of it. And then it's become more of a thing and it needs to, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think giving more attention to good behaviour than bad behaviour always works every time. Hitting and nipping advice, please.
Does nipping mean biting?
I think it does.
Okay.
I think nipping means biting.
Welcome to my world.
I mean, I'm past the hitting and nipping stage with Axel and I'm not quite there with Gigi yet.
Okay.
So I'm intrigued to hear your response to this, though, for sure.
I mean, loads of people messaged me and said, you need to bite. When they bite, you need to bite them back. And I was like, I can't bite my two-year-old. I'm not going to do it. It doesn't work for me. If it works for you, that's fine. People always tell you, don't they, in their 30s, like, yeah, my mum, you know, I used to be a biter and then my mum bit me and I never bit anyone again. I'm like, I'm not sure if that's like a fake story or whether it's actually worked.
You know what? It's the same thing. Like James always says, he's going to tell Axel, if someone hits him at school, hit them back. But then I just feel really uncomfortable about that because I think, surely two wrongs don't make a right. So why are we teaching him that? To do the same thing that's wrong back. It's so hard, isn't it?
Dolza says that, I mean, let's talk about that another time. There's a whole lot of stuff that James and Dolza are saying that we don't agree. I think the key is if you see your child hitting, whether it's their sibling or whether it's another child or biting, you need to be very consistent with your how you're disciplining them. So for me, it's about removing him from the scenario. So I don't do it in front of Luna. I pick him up. I say, Kit, no. And I take it. And people say, don't use the word no. But he understands what no means. So he knows. So I then take him and we go to either the bedroom or we sit somewhere else. And I explain to him, I say, your teeth are not for biting. They're for smiling and they're for eating. And that's kind of what I keep saying to him. And I just keep saying it on repetition. He has stopped biting. It's taken us 6 months to get through it. And we haven't had a bite now for nearly 3 weeks, I think it is, we're on now. So that's good.
That is really good.
It's a phase.
And yeah, I was going to say, quite often biting comes out of frustration. Yeah. When they can't quite communicate properly yet.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they can, it sort of goes because then they can talk and hopefully. That's what I was actually thinking about. I always used to say to Axel, use your words. Rather than like the hitting and the biting.
Yeah, agreed.
Fussy eating. My daughter will only eat peanut butter on toast. Is it just a phase? Ignore or go with it?
I really don't think you should worry. Like, if you look at what that is amazing, like natural oils and fats. That's like carbohydrates. You know, if they're having like, you know, kind of nice brown bread with kind of seeds in it or whatever, like, you know, I just think you're not going to die from only eating peanut butter and toast, and you're not going to eat that the rest of your life as well. And
no, exactly. God,
I feel this woman so much because I've torn my hair out, and so have you, George. Well, maybe not in your house because you just cook everything, and your kids eat everything that you eat. It's really annoying. Oh, look at this! Look at this risotto. And it's got clams in it. And look at Gigi just sucking on a clam. It's like, how the hell have you got your daughter who's one to eat all that food? But for me, it's fucking fish fingers, sausages and cottage pie virtually every night.
But so, like, those things are all fine, though. It's only because that's how I did it from day one. No. Do you know what I mean? It's like my thing. Like, I like cooking. I like eating. Like, it wasn't going to be any other way. But, you know, it might change tomorrow. So I never, like, feel too comfortable with it. Gigi might turn around to me and be like, no, you're all right. I'll have peanut butter on toast. Oh, and she loves, in fact, she loves peanut butter on toast. Amazing. And I don't blame her. Do you know what? Yeah, I won't worry about it. I think with eating, the more pressure you put on, the worse it becomes. We, not so much fussy eating with Axel, but we had a thing where he just wasn't really eating his dinner. And we'd be sit there going, come on, Axel, stop talking, eat your dinner. Come on, Axel, stop talking. Yeah. And it actually made mealtimes so stressful. And as soon as I said to James, right, do you know what? Let's just ignore it. Because if he doesn't eat his dinner and it gets to like 6 o'clock and he's still sat at the table and he's just like chatting away, then that's fine, you know, whatever. Then we'll clear it away and we'll go to bed, and it's only going to take a few nights for him to learn, yeah, oh god, I actually need to eat this a bit faster, or you know, or tell my mum I don't like it or whatever. And yeah, it did, like after a few nights of us just not really saying anything, it eased off, yeah, and it was fine, yeah. I think, yeah, it's just the less pressure you put on them, I really do believe that, the better.
I agree, but you know what, I think it's so easy to get caught up in that, and I do it as well, because you as a parent, you want to provide nutrition, like you want to feed your kids and you want them to be well and you want them to be healthy and you want them to get all their nutrients in, because you know how important it is as an adult. But I think if they're eating and they're drinking water and they're kind of, you know, as healthy as they can be, you know, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself, like you said, G. This one I like, because this is me. Any advice for constant moaning? Me, 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 me. Oh my god, get away from me. The moaning is horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, Axel does moan as well. We actually just go, oh, here he is. Where's Axel gone? Oh, look, it's Moany Monison. Oh, well, Axel's not in the house anymore. Who thought I'd go? Axel's not in the house anymore. I'll have to give all his birthday presents to someone else because we've got Moany Monison instead. And then he ends up looking at me, either getting cross, really cross with me, and the whole, don't laugh at me, you know, all that
thing. Yeah.
Or he'll just laugh and then we're over it. But I know it's nothing worse than flipping moaning.
Do you know what does the starter do? Does the starter too? Because if it happens a lot, he goes, we need to look at their sugar intake. And like, what? And he'll just come out with it, right? He'll go, you need to stop getting them so many presents. And we're like, I don't get them any presents. What are you talking about? This morning he went, she needs to go and see somebody. And I was like, who exactly? Like, are we talking a therapist or are we talking a sleep expert? You basically pick apart everything because she moans about something. I'm like, this is all your issue. Like, she's three. She's not, you know, 12 and be able to articulate herself properly. You know, this is what three-year-olds do a lot of the time. Don't give her excuses. Yeah. Not because she's told. I'm like, you're not helping the situation. So I really, really feel that I have no answers for you. I'm in the middle of it and it is fucking hell.
You're right. That really made me laugh. And that's exactly what James does. James sometimes goes, I swear, this isn't normal. This kid is not normal. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, find me a kid that is then.
Yeah.
Like, find me one. Go for it. I challenge you.
Wait. No, I'm sorry, Niamh. I can't help you. We can't help
you. I think you just got to laugh.
Yeah, you've got to laugh. And
Two-and-a-half-year-old waking in the early hours, hysterical, and won't go back in own bed. Help.
Oh, Pam. I feel you. God, two-and-a-half-year-old waking in the early hours, hysterical, and won't go back in his own bed. Okay. Well, so I guess we've just started, this might be quite good, we have just started using these things called worry dolls. And you buy them on Amazon, and actually the Calm and Bright girls recommend, they're on Instagram, Calm and Bright girls, they basically recommended them to me, and they're from Guatemala, and they're basically supposed to help out your kids' worries or anxieties at bedtime. So we are now going to Luna with the six of them. We're now going, what are you worried about? And she's like, I'm worried about being hot. And we kiss the worry doll and put it under. They're tiny, by the way. They look like, they're like the size of a matchstick. And then she puts them under her pillow, and then tonight she's worried about Alfie because his ear's fallen off, she's worried about being hot, she's worried about spiders, daddy long legs and spiders webs. So we put them under a pillow, and then it seems to be calming her down and anxiety. So if your child is waking up and is hysterical, maybe you could say, listen, your worry dolls are under your pillow and they're there to keep you safe and they're looking after you, so you've got nothing to be worried about or nothing to be scared about. It might be something to do with the darkness of the room. I'm not sure if she or he is sleeping with a light on, but maybe you want to look at having a nightlight. And sometimes white noise can also help with stuff like that as well. So yeah, three options for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've had similar sort of things with Axel at like different stages in his life. So when we were talking about school a lot, we found that he was crying in the night, like to himself.
Yeah.
And he's very much, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. You know, like if he hurts himself, he doesn't cry. He just takes himself off.
Yeah.
And will quietly get over it. I mean, it's hard because I want him to show that he's upset and he's hurt himself. And I want him to tell me when he's, you know, upset or whatever, but he doesn't. He's always, I'm fine, I'm fine. But then it always comes out in he sleep talks or, or like cries or whatever in the night. And yeah. We found exactly the same talking before he goes to bed.
Yeah.
What are you worried? You know, what is it that you're worried about? And he'd quite, you know, during lockdown, he'd be like, oh, I'm worried about my friend Harvey at school. I'm not going to see him again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm worried about Nanny, you know, all these things. Yeah. And definitely if you sort of get it all off your chest before you go to bed, and then it does help.
Get the worry dolls. They've been great
exactly.
So far. Toothbrushing battles. Do you ride in and try again later or persevere all the time?
Do you know what? I have never cracked this properly. No. I find the whole toothbrushing thing so hard.
Yeah, same.
Oh, why is it so difficult? Why do they not want to just stand? I mean, I do it for Axel sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll physically brush every single tooth. We have explained to him, like, you need your teeth. We need to brush every single one because you need to, like, be able to eat your food.
Yeah.
Also, we quite often point to James's teeth and we're like, Daddy didn't brush his teeth when he was younger.
Poor Judgy James.
Poor Judgy James. Yeah, I know. He's, like, off to the orthodontist as soon as he can. but no, we do yeah. that, and it is. I do find it really difficult. But I know, like in terms of time and stuff, having a timer, like a countdown timer, and buying as well. Like we quite often get like the character toothbrushes. Like he's got an electric toothbrush at the moment, which I think is Batman. And you know, maybe in a few months' time, we'll switch it to I don't know whatever he's into at the time. Just make it a bit more exciting.
Yeah, and also I think we'll do some research for you. But there must be some good books on toothbrushing, and I think that's also a really nice way of kind of introducing the toothbrush. We did it with potty training with Princess Potty, so there must be one. We'll speak to Chris and Rosa, Expect the Best, and see what they say. But I think actually fundamentally, if you just kind of get them into the scenario where they're holding the toothbrush and they've got a bit of toothpaste on it, and they kind of know that the importance of like going to the dentist and all that kind of stuff, their teeth are going to fall out anyway. They're going to get a new set. So I'm not too worried. Kit is 2.5. He's only just started brushing his teeth. I have to do it every single night. And we have this battle where he goes, and then he bites the toothbrush and he doesn't
want
it. It's a bloody minefield. Just do what you can and don't worry about it too much.
It's actually one of the hardest things.
Isn't it?
Thinking about it, it is. It's
all these things. Brush your teeth. Oh God. Well, listen, we've had loads of questions that we haven't been able to get through tonight, but we are gonna. I think we should pick it up in a couple of weeks and do another one because this one's
definitely. Yeah, we will do. Thank you so much for sending all your questions in, and do keep them coming. Let us know what subjects you want us to discuss, and any guests you think that would be great for our Tuesday episode.
And also, just to say, if you're feeling kind of at your wit's end with any behavioural stuff and you don't know what to do and you're shouting and you're screaming and you feel like you've had enough, we feel exactly the same all the time.
Yeah.
And we can kind of try and navigate it with you because it's a minefield and nobody has the answer, by the way. So let's just keep trying all the things, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As always, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. If you could leave us a little 5-star, that would be so nice. And also just tell all your friends about our podcast as well. That would be really great.
Yeah, please do. And you can always drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we will see you on Tuesday next week.
See you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.